We present Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, a sequential entertainment for radio, starring Ronnie Barker, also featuring Terence Brady, Pauline Yates and Anne Beach, with Gordon Langford at the piano. We present the last and final episode of Paul Chappell and the Squalid Affair. Listeners will remember that Paul Chappell has been trying to trace the mysterious phone calls he and his wife Steve have been receiving for the past 14 episodes. Chappell's investigations have led him up the garden path to Squalid Hall, a country house somewhere near Henley.
Steve.
Paul, what are you doing here?
Steve, what are you doing here?
I was kidnapped 2 days ago.
So that's why you sounded strange on the telephone.
I knew you'd find me, Paul. Come in. Inspector Mannering is in the library.
Paul, Inspector. So Lady Cartwright was our man after all.
Exactly. And Sir James knew about those diamonds.
He sent that cable from Rotterdam, Paul.
And he's not Sir James, Paul. He's Sir John.
Or should we say Peters?
Exactly. We at Scotland Yard had no suspicions about Peters until you telephoned us.
How clever of you to suspect Lady Mary Cartwright and to know who was the ringleader.
Who?
Peters, Paul.
And Mary.
So Peters wasn't Russell?
No. Russell ran the dress shop in Esher.
Exactly.
As a cover.
Peters ran the travel agency in Henley.
Exactly.
As a cover? Now, that dress shop, that's where Dr. Roberts comes in.
Yes. When Mansfield was poisoned...
In the pub at Mallow.
Exactly.
You mean Roberts wasn't a real doctor?
No, exactly. We suspected something when we saw that revolver in his Gladstone bag.
He, or shall we call him they, were agents acting for Simpson.
Simpson? I don't understand.
Simpson.
Exactly.
So that means Mansfield was innocent.
Poor devil.
Thank heavens you telephoned, Paul.
Thank heavens the car broke down outside Newcastle.
And thank heavens you joined us for sherry on Tuesday, Inspector.
Exactly.
Cigarette?
No, thanks.
There's just one thing I can't quite follow, Paul. Who telephoned at midnight on Sunday?
Me.
And you thought it was Roberts pretending to be Mansfield?
In the pub at Marlow.
Poor devil.
And that was Sir James, alias Sir John, alias Peters, who kidnapped you, Steve.
Exactly.
The swine didn't get away with it.
Thanks to that phone call from King's Cross...
Who was that?
You.
Exactly.
And the rhododendron bush I received by special messenger?
That was just a plant.
Ah, so let's get this clear. We can forget Mansfield's brother, who wasn't the chauffeur.
Exactly.
So that means he telephoned Simpson?
Who knew Mansfield's brother had contacted Sir James, alias Sir John, alias Peters...
From that telephone kiosk.
Outside Windsor, not Slough, as we thought.
And took the message back to him at once.
Woohoo!
But why did he telephone before leaving for Hamburg?
Who did?
He didn't, that's the point.
Didn't?
No, I've just checked. He flew to Vienna.
Paul, who?
Don't worry, darling.
Scotland Yard will sort it out. I don't know how to thank you, Paul. This calls for a celebration.
I agree. Champagne, Inspector?
But, darling, it belongs to Sir James.
Alias Sir John.
Alias Peters.
Oh, he won't mind. He's tied up at the moment in the garage with some old clothesline. Cheers. Let's drink to our old friend Krantz.
Cheers.
To Krantz.
Headmaster, Mrs. Featherstone, members of the teaching staff, parents, boys. Now, I don't know you, and I'm quite sure that none of you have ever heard of me. Many of the masters won't know me. In fact, until today, hardly anyone in this school would have been aware of my existence. I am the Minister of Education. But that is not the reason that I'm here this afternoon. I am here because I'm an old boy, one of this school's old boys, and I'm here today to talk about what it's like to be an old boy. Many of you young boys here today will eventually become old boys, and I wonder what sort of old boy you will turn out to be. I've met all sorts of old boys in my time, clever old boys, funny old boys, stupid old boys, and some downright wicked old boys. I was talking to a deaf old boy the other day, and I told him I was coming to talk to you, And then I told him again, and this time he heard me, and he asked me to pass on this bit of good advice. Take care of your ears. Protect them against frosty weather, and above all, keep them clean at all times. I mean, nobody likes to see an old boy with dirty ears walking along the street. So let your motto be cleanliness at all times, and abstinence. Strong liquor should be avoided wherever possible. I mean, there's nothing worse than going into a pub and finding it full of old boys playing shove at me, so that you can't get near the bar. Personal safety, too, is very important. The other day I was driving my car along the road when an old boy stepped straight off the pavement in front of me, and if I hadn't braked sharply, I would have killed the old boy. So remember, look after yourself, avoid strong drink, and keep your ears clean. Oh, and one final word, women. Well, I'd like to go on much longer, but that's impossible. And when you're an old boy like me, you'll understand what I mean. Thank you.
Darling.
Hmm?
You comfortable, love?
Yes, thanks.
Not too hot? Too cold?
Hmm?
I've been thinking, love, about us. You know, 10 years married and no kids yet. Well, I was wondering, like some more wine, love?
Hmm.
Nice idea, this. Wine in bed. Makes a change.
Hmm.
Yes, I was thinking that perhaps, well, something's gone wrong. Not wrong, really, but, you know, perhaps there's something lacking. I'm not complaining, mind. No, far from it, but you know what I mean. It's a good book, is it, that one?
Hmm?
Good book, is it, that one?
Hmm.
Yeah, well, speaking of good books, I was wondering if perhaps we ought to get a book. Not that we need one, you understand, but I just thought that, you know, it might help. I mean, it's perfectly natural that people get bored with things after a while, even marriage. In the first balmy years, floating on clouds of passion and romance, and then the maturity of emotion, which leads naturally to boredom. No, I mean, it's not that we need it.
Hmm?
I say it's not as if we need it.
What?
The book.
Yes.
Yes? Yes, what?
It's very good.
Oh, yes. No, what I mean to say is that it can't do any harm, and it could, well, perhaps add a little, well, it could perhaps, well, add a little spice, so to speak. I mean, nobody thinks any the worse of a chef for consulting a cookery book. So, I mean, a joint of mutton's none the worse for a splash of curry, is it? I know it gives me flatulence, but that's not the point. Do you see what I'm getting at? Darling?
Hmm?
You do see what I mean?
Hmm.
More wine?
Hmm.
That book seems to be very engrossing.
Mm, it is.
I didn't think you were all that keen on Jane Austen.
Hmm?
Jane Austen, I thought you said you were bored with it.
Oh, I gave that up. I'm reading that book about sex I found in your briefcase. Put the light out, darling, will you? Hmm?
Oh, blow out the light, beloved. The hour of eventide is nigh. Say not the candle starts to gutter. Oh, do not utter thy goodbye. But blow out the light, beloved, for we have seen what we have seen. Come joy, come pain, it will remain. the light, beloved.
Hello. Hello. No, it's still not working.
We were better off without that damn phone. That's the second time we've had it fixed this year.
I know we've had bad luck with the phone, dear, but now they're all computerized.
Computers? If the one that gets the numbers is the same one that sends the bills, heaven help us.
No, come on, let's face it. With all the gadgets they've got nowadays, you do get a good service. Look, I'll give it another try. It should be all right now, for goodness sake. I'll try the speaking clock.
Speaking clock? Give Mother a ring.
No, I'll just try the clock first. At least the clock can't... Shh, listen.
At the third stroke, it will be 6:42:30. At the third
that
stroke...
That sounds all right.
It will be
nothing
6
wrong with that.
42
perfectly ordinary
and
clock,
40
isn't it?
Seconds.
And keep it until it goes brown on top.
What?
Remove from the oven and allow
wrong?
It to cool for
I
half
don't know.
An hour.
Shh, listen.
Sprinkle with caster sugar.
To avoid the follow-on. The morning began...
Well,
with
so much for the famous speaking clock.
No, listen, this is the...
At the third stroke, it will be...
55 for 3.
Eggs, 2 level teaspoons of cinnamon and 1/2 pound of raisins. Separate the whites from...
The Pakistanis, without adding to their overnight score. The start of the collapse was caused by a ball from snow...
which is quite normal for the time of year. However, thundery outbreaks are expected to develop from...
The pan. Wipe with greaseproof paper, which should then be...
Dropped in the gully by Edrich. At 17, Mohammed was caught behind off a short one that...
Should be ready to serve in 30 minutes and...
10 seconds.
The Pakistanis will be...
Light to variable, except along the south coast where they'll be heavy.
And so at tea, the visitors...
Are also delicious.
Delicious? Disgusting. To think we're paying telephone bills to hear that twaddle.
Twaddle? In the computer age, darling.
Computers are only as good as the people who work them or repair them or... Yes, that's it. I'll phone the engineers. Where's the book? Oh, thanks. Ah, there we are. Look, fault reports. Mm-hmm. Fault reports...
Fault reports?
I'd like to make a complaint. I've just dialed the speaking clock and got the most meaningless load of drivel imaginable. A complete jumble of the speaking clock, weather, cricket, and a completely muddled recipe.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry about that, but we've got a fault in our oven. Still, I'm glad to say that if pressure remains high in the North Sea, the groundsman will be inspecting it at 7:45 precisely.
Hello to you all at home and welcome to Wrong Way Family Favourites. And our first request today comes from Beverly Hills in California from Frank, Dino, Raquel and Sammy Jr., who say it's been a long time since they heard their hometown Hollywood mentioned on the air. Well, there it is. And the request is for Anita, Rolf, Matt, Val, Des and Ringo and all at the TV studios. And all of you want to hear Mrs. Daisy Crump of 24 Sebastopol Terrace, Yarmouth, calling her husband to the radio.
Sitting out here in the conservatory on a summer's evening.
Very nice.
Do you enjoy the duck, darling?
Gracious me, yes. Didn't I say? Oh, I'm very sorry. It was delicious. Delicious.
Oh, good.
I thought I said.
You didn't, but it doesn't matter, darling.
So nice sitting out here in the conservatory on a summer's evening.
I just said that, darling.
Oh, did you?
It is nice. Out here.
I've enjoyed our anniversary. Haven't you, darling?
Oh, yes. 25 years. Mm. Silver wedding. And you really did mean it when you said you love me even more than you did 25 years ago.
You know I did, darling. 25 years of bliss you've given me.
A quarter of a century of loving.
You've been the perfect husband, the perfect father. Most husbands would have strayed once or twice in that time, but you never have. Such a compliment.
I'll merely return the compliment you give me, my darling, by always looking so beautiful.
Sweetheart.
I've changed, of course. A little fatter. Getting a little forgetful age, I suppose.
Oh, but I like that, darling. Anyway, you've always been a little absent-minded.
I really can't remember what day it is sometimes. Oh, I'll get it, darling. Yes, hold on. Yes, 1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 6.
Is that you, Cuddlebum?
1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 6.
It is. How are you, smoothie chops? It's your mistress. She's drunk and a little lonely. I know you said never to ring up home, but I can't help that. That's a ring to tell you what I thought of that last night. Wonderful. Oh, wasn't it gorgeous last night, Henry?
Hello?
Hello, saucebox.
No, I'm afraid you've got the wrong number.
I never wanted it to end, did you?
No, yes. Yes, this is 1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 6.
If you ring off, I shall phone back again and again and again and again. So you might as well speak to me now.
Oh, hello, George. So sorry, I didn't realise it was you.
You can't play golf tomorrow, Henry. Mother's coming from Dorking.
No, right, dear.
You talking to that old bag?
Yes, George, yes. What can I do for you?
Wasn't it wonderful last night?
No, I couldn't manage 18 holes.
Darling, can't you get away from that terrible old bag and come round now, like you did last night, you know? Just say to her you're going to take the dog out and come round here and we can put it in the kitchen. Albert's just gone on night.
Yes, I do see.
It's his last week night. Come on. I'll leave the back door open.
Well, perhaps about 10.
No, honestly, Henry, Mother will be here at 11.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, George. I don't think I can manage anything, no.
Don't be like that with me, Henry. Don't be like that.
No.
You can't just pick me up and drop me when you feel like it.
Well, I tell you what I'll do, George. I'll have a look at my appointment book and ring you back tomorrow.
I've got a wonderful surprise for you. I'll tell you when I see you.
In the club?
Me? No, I'm not in the club. No, Albert's going fishing for 3 days in September. See you tomorrow night then, darling. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Right. Fine. Well, I'll ring you tomorrow then, George.
George does go on, doesn't he, darling?
Oh, he's not too bad. A very convivial chap to play golf with. Hellish good.
Like another violet cream, dear?
Oh, yes, why not? Yes, I think I will treat myself. Our silver wedding night, after all. I couldn't get into my brown suit this morning. What does it matter, a little weight?
You couldn't get into your blue suit, darling. I threw your brown one out last year.
Oh, did you?
You relax, darling. I'll get it. 1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 6.
Oh, hello, Elaine. It's George. Is Henry there?
Just a minute, George. Henry, it's George again.
All right, just coming. Yes. Thank you, darling. Go. Hello.
Oh, hello, Henry. It's George. How are you?
How am I? Wonderful. More to the point, how are you, my darling?
Hello. Is that 1, 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 6?
Yes, my little sugar bun. You know it is.
I'm so sorry. Is Henry Mendip there, please?
Listen, don't muck about, Brenda. 10 o'clock as usual, right?
It is Henry, isn't it?
Oh, I'll never forget last night.
Look, I'm ringing up about a game tomorrow.
Half an hour, then, and leave the back door open, you succulent creature. Ooh, see you. Oh, George. Make an appointment with him and he forgets 5 minutes later.
Well, all our friends are getting older, darling.
Yes, must be expected, I suppose. He's getting so forgetful.
Yes, very. He left his bra in your car last week.
Yes. Well, I better take the dog out.
Not too long this evening, darling.
No. Just a quick one, round the block. Come on, Brenda. Bruce. Come on, Brenda, Bruce. Come on, Brenda. Bruce.
Is the 6:15 special train to Glyndebourne. Passengers.
o'clock.
The first two coaches are reserved for the bases, so please take your places and do not delay. The tenors and baritones should sit with their backs to the engine. And pray let me mention, there must be no smoking, no spitting, no joking, no climbing on luggage racks, no hanky-panky or filth.
Oh, Lincoln to London.
May we just remind you that there won't be a buffet
call. Oh, Lincoln Haywood's.
Don't go through to Brighton or you may find you've gone too far.
Don't change at all. Stay exactly where you are. And you'll arrive so very well. Goodbye,
Tut.
Singing through the forests, rattling over ridges, shooting under arches, rumbling over bridges, whizzing through the mountains, buzzing o'er the vale. Bless me, this is pleasant, riding on the rail.
Excuse me. I feel I must point out to you, this is a smoking compartment.
What?
This is not a no-smoking compartment.
What on earth are you talking about? I know perfectly well that this is not a no-smoking compartment.
Yes, the point is, I am smoking and you are not.
So?
Look, what I'm saying is this. By not smoking, you are, in effect, looking down on me.
Oh, rubbish.
Rubbish, is it? Well, then, let me tell you, it's people like you who cause all the trouble. Laughing up your sleeves at people like me. I've met your type before, always criticising. Always making judgments about other people.
If you don't mind, I'd like to read my newspaper.
Oh, so that's your attitude, is it? You think by not talking about a problem it'll go away? Brush the dirt under the carpet and no one will be any the wiser.
Just leave me alone, will you?
Talk about inhumanity now. You suggest we ignore each other completely. Just treat each other as non-existent, eh?
Yes, that would be the most convenient way out of this ridiculous situation.
Oh, typical. Typical, that is. That's typical. The line of least resistance every time. You don't care a jot that by not smoking you make me feel inferior to you, do you?
I do not wish to discuss the matter any further.
Look. The only reason I took up smoking in the first place was my shyness. I found that by offering cigarettes around in company, it broke the ice. Now you just sit there opposite me, provocatively not smoking in the smoking compartment. I feel so put out, so inadequate. And you prefer to remain apart. Tell me, You're a crank, ain't you? You're a crank, ain't you?
No.
You're a crank, ain't you?
No.
Yes, you are. Fads about this, fads about that. Going round with your nose in the air. Down with the masses, innit? Yes, Mr. Faultless.
I've had enough of this. Just to be sociable, I'll join you in a cigarette.
You condescending now, aren't we? Oh, coming down from your ivory tower. All right, Mr. Nose in the air. I'll give you one, then. Oh, wait a second. I thought I had some left.
That's all right.
Now you've done it, haven't you?
Done what, ma'am?
You made a fool of me, haven't you? Now you're really making a fool of me, aren't you? Now you know I've got no more cigarettes. You're sneering at me, haven't you? I've met your type before. Oh, you are awful. I've met your type before, yes. My mum was like you.
When I sit in railway carriages, I often think of all the marriages whose first few blissful minutes are realised in the dining car. Or rattling out of London town snugly with the shutters down, steaming down to bracing Brighton, steaming down without the light on, realising none too soon, George, we're on our honeymoon. Full of eagerness and dread, wondering what lies ahead. Can we cope? Make both ends meet, pull together, find our feet. Will she soon get tired of me? Do we face monotony? Will he always buy me flowers? Was there ever love like ours? How did fate conspire to match us? Will the guard come in and catch us? Good morning, sir. We'll be having the full breakfast, sir.
Yes, please. Black coffee to start with, and then...
No coffee this morning, sir. No, we had a bit of trouble with our water at Southampton, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Then I'll have a pot of tea, if
no,
I may.
No, no, well, you can't have tea either, sir, as I said.
Oh, yes, of course, yes, your Southampton water, yes. Then in that case, I'd like a glass of milk and toast, and then I...
Bread, sir.
Bread?
Bread, yes. You can have a nice slice of bread, sir, but no toast. The toaster is jam, sir.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Can't it be unjammed?
Well, not till we get to Waterloo, sir. Maintenance do that. We can't touch it. You know it's a rule, sir.
Oh, very well, then. I'll have a glass of milk and bread.
Yeah,
well, and then
I'm glad you mentioned milk, sir. Milk is off. Not off the menu, sir, just off. I mean, it's gone off. You know, what you might call sour, sir.
I'm afraid I don't really like sour milk. Just give me bacon and eggs, then.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of eggs this morning, sir.
I don't wish to be difficult or anything like that, but you've only just started to serve breakfast. Why have you run out of eggs already?
Ah, well, we've just started serving breakfast to the passengers, sir, but we have to have our breakfast first. I mean, we can't be expected, you know, to go up and down the train on empty stomachs, you see, sir.
You and a staff have eaten all the eggs.
Well, no. There was a shortage at the depot, sir. Nothing to do with us, of course.
Oh, no. I'm not blaming you, no. In that case, I'll have a bacon sandwich.
Ah, yes, well, the bacon...
Now, don't tell me you've got no bacon. It's too much. I've half a mind to say something to the chief steward.
I'm the chief steward, sir.
Ah. Oh, yes. Well, I really do think someone should say something to somebody.
Well, a chief catering officer, perhaps, sir, Southern Region.
Well, yes. Yes, yes, why not, yes. I don't want to be unreasonable, but I...
Mr. P.C.A. Huggins, sir. He's your man. Catering Department, Waterloo, sir.
Thank you. I'll write to him. I really will. One of these days, no bacon.
No, but I didn't say there was no bacon, sir. No. No, you've been under a misapprehension, sir.
Oh. Oh, in that case, I beg your pardon.
Granted as soon as asked, I'm sure, sir.
I'll have a bacon sandwich.
Just one small point, sir. As I said, we do have the bacon, sir. Pounds and pounds of it, sir. But we can't cook it. Of course, the grill's gone.
Gone? Gone where?
No, it's gone nowhere. No, it's gone nowhere, sir. It's just not working, sir.
My word. This just isn't your day, is it? Very well. Just give him my bread.
Sydney, bread over here for this gentleman. Thank you. There you go. There you are, sir. I'm certainly only white today, being Monday.
Thank you very much.
Not at all, sir.
What's this?
That's the bill, sir. I'm just giving it to you now to save time. More efficient that way, isn't it, sir?
Oh, yes, of course it is, yes. You've charged me 75 pence.
That's right, sir. Yes, you did ask for the full breakfast, sir.
So I did. Sorry, yes. Here you are, then. Keep the change.
All right, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much.
Ah, good morning, madam. Will you be having a full breakfast, madam?
Singing through the forests, rattling over ridges, shooting under arches, rumbling over bridges, whizzing through the mountains, buzzing o'er the vale. Bless me, this is pleasant. Riding on the rail...
You've been listening to Lines from My Grandfather's Forehead, starring Ronnie Barker, with Terence Brady, Pauline Yates, Anne Beach, and Gordon Langford at the piano. The lines were written by Arnold Brown, Donald Churchill, Don Currell and Andy Kelvin, John Graham, Charles Griffin, Miles Rudge and Ted Dix, J.G. Sachs, Peter Spence, and Gerald Wiley. The program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.